See, some kids want to stay in church because it's so exciting. If you notice, or if you're not aware, we're starting a new series. Last week was the beginning of our first in the series being Children of Light. And if you remember, we looked at what it meant to be a child of light in the world around us. And today, what we're going to do in the series in the year ahead is to look at significant major characters within the scriptures, within the Bible, that were children of light, that stand out because God was doing something amazing in their life, but also their faith was a powerful journey. So today we're looking at Adam and Eve, right at the beginning. So part of the film clip that you saw earlier was just this place of creation and creativity. God in His wonder, God in His beauty, God in His delight. And so today we're going to be going on a path and looking at Adam and Eve. So let me pray. Lord of all creation, one of the songs that we sang this morning. Lord of all creation, You are wonderful. You're amazing. You create so much beauty and wonder. The trouble is, for us, we get stuck in our own little world, in our own little place, and we forget the wonder of what's happening on this planet right here and right now. So many significant and beautiful things happening, and yet we get stressed, and we get pressured, and we're worried and we're concerned about the little things around us. That we forget that You are almighty, all-powerful. And if we allow You to be, You are all-consuming. This morning, Lord, help us to understand and to see again what You have done and what You continue to do in our lives, in our daily journey. Amen. Children of light. Genesis 2. If you want to look at your scriptures, you're welcome to your Bible. We're going to have it on the screen so we can read it together if you like. The Lord God took the man, and if you read earlier, the man He created, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the grounds, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he could call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and the every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Just want you just to imagine for a moment. Just to imagine for a moment the beauty and the wonder of a special place that God had created called Eden. A wonderful and beautiful place that He had created just for His prize creation, being man. It says in the scriptures that Adam would walk in the heat of the day with God. Can you even get that into your mind? A place where there was such a freedom, God and Adam walking in peace, in harmony, in a place there was no fear, no anxiety, no stress, no pressure. Such a beautiful, wonderful place. Oh, I wonder, I mean, my imagination goes to places. I wonder if Adam was dancing in the garden and walking around, and it says there that Adam was naming the animals. You know, hey, I don't know if he even called him God. I don't know what Adam would have called him. Probably God, may some other name, but he would say, hey, what do we call this one? Hippopotamus? And this one? This one's a really, really a strange looking one, you know? Crocodile? There was something beautiful about Adam and just being in that place of, I don't know, wonder, delight, no death, no fear, no anxiety, no stress. Just a wonderful, wonderful, incredible place. I think it's hard for us to conceptualize, but it would have been just amazing. And Adam would have been free to walk in the garden and just to be himself and to delight in that. Just imagine what it would have been like.
We forget about the glory and the majesty of God. We forget how powerful and amazing and creative He is. We get caught up in our own little worlds and our own issues, and suddenly we lose sight of the majestic Most High God. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk in the Garden of Eden and see everything so fresh and beautiful and pure and holy, incredible colours and amazing different animals? And to be able to walk in the garden with God and have a conversation with Him. How amazing. How incredible. For we have been created in the image of God. And that's exactly how God wanted it to be. That we would have this intimate relationship with Him. That we would be able to walk at the end of the day with Him and converse with Him. But something happened. Something happened which would change things. And so the next part of our Bible reading, we're now going to pick up from Genesis 3. And it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, well, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, well, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life. We have this incredible scene where God creates the whole world, and God and man are in perfect harmony. And then because of some bad choices, some wrong thinking and listening to the enemy instead of following the voice of God, they sin. And they think that they can be a little God. They think they can be like God. And because of that, they suddenly realize that they are simply man. They become afraid. They become ashamed. They have great guilt. And ultimately, they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And that relationship between God and man is broken. That intimate relationship has been broken. So I want to focus on a couple of things this morning. I want us to look at what I call the tragic trio. And they're here right from the very beginning in this story. And it's this tragic trio which actually causes a great rift between us and God. And yes, it's born out of sin, but they are three very strong emotions. And they are fear, guilt, and shame. Fear, guilt, and shame. Now, I know that for me, often being having our counselling centre up north and our wellness centre, the number of people who would come and they were overwhelmed with fear, or some kind of long-bearing guilt and shame was huge. And I remember having people come to me and say, can I tell you something that I've never told anyone in 40 years? This is my secret. And it has locked me in fear and guilt and shame. I'm sure Wayne has similar stories. Yep, they're nodding their heads. Because, you see, when we become afraid, when we do something that we think is not right, or we do something that's against the norms of society, or other people have viewed it as not being correct, or we know in ourselves it's just wrong, we get bound up in fear and guilt and shame, and they rob us of the ability to be able to have a free relationship with Jesus. They rob us of the ability to be open and connect with people around us, but also to be open and connect clearly with God. Why do you think they're listed right here in the beginning? And they heard the voice of God and they were afraid. Fear is the first symptom of sin. Fear is the first symptom of sin that reveals itself in this passage. Where suddenly Adam and Eve hear God and instead of being delighted and overjoyed, they are afraid. Because they've seen his majesty and his glory and now they are afraid of what God will say and what God will do now that they know, now that he knows they've made some poor choices. And so fear is our first symptom of sin. And then we have guilt. Suddenly they feel guilty. They realize that they have done the wrong thing and they are totally overwhelmed. And they also play the blame game when God starts questioning them. Because guilt and trying to redirect the guilt is very closely related. And there's a deep shame. They were ashamed of their nakedness, and so they gathered leaves to cover themselves. Fear, guilt, and shame are huge. And they rob us of the ability to have a deep relationship with Jesus. My dog is very clever, and I have a great relationship with her. And when she comes home, she wants to greet me and she does this thing where she kind of wiggles all over. She's so excited that I'm home. And so from the top of her head to the tip of her tail, she's wiggling. I don't really do it any justice, but I'm sure you can imagine it. And she's got a Dalmatian background. So Dalmatians can actually smile at you. So she kind of lifts her top and bottom lip to show her teeth, and she snorts at you to say, oh, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're home. And I know when she's happy to see me because it's really obvious. When we moved from the farm to our little teeny tiny postage stamp backyard, up on the north coast. Our dog had gone from having 100 acres where we would walk and where we would roam, and now she had this tiny, tiny backyard. And she started to do something she'd never done before. She started to dig. And she dug lots of holes. Holes under the fence, holes in the little garden that I had, and there were holes suddenly appearing everywhere. But there was an interesting thing. I always knew when she'd dug a new hole. Because instead of greeting me at the door and wiggling all over and going, baring her teeth and smiling at me, she would cower. I would open the door and she would kind of run in the opposite direction and she'd sit shaking on her mat, trembling in fear. And her fear, guilt and shame already made it very clear that she'd done something wrong. And I would just walk in and go, okay, what have you done? And straight away I would just walk out the back and look for the new hole. The reason I'm sharing that is because that is like us. When things are right in our world and we have an open relationship with Jesus, we go to God, God, I'm so glad you're here. And we can wiggle in joy and we can smile at him and we want to be in his presence. But when we have things in our life that we have done wrong, or when God has spoken clearly for us to do something and we've done the exact opposite, guess what? We are overwhelmed with fear, guilt and shame, one or all three of them, and suddenly we find ourselves cowering in a corner, not even wanting to have a conversation with God, because our fear and our guilt and our shame condemn us. But that's just it. Our fear, our guilt and our shame condemn us. And yet this story in Genesis makes it very clear that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. That's a Bible passage, but it's also very clear here. There is no condemnation in God. Yes, God punished them. Yes, God disciplined them. But he didn't want to break his relationship with them completely. Instead, he wanted to find a way for them to have a restored relationship with him. So today you were asked to pick up or leave. And I want you to think about your leave for a minute. Because in the story of Adam and Eve, the leaf is what they went to cover their nakedness. Because they were afraid of God, they were ashamed of their nakedness, and they were consumed by guilt. So they picked some leaves to cover themselves, and they hid in the garden away amongst the trees, away from God, as if God couldn't find them. But I want us to go back to a passage where it talks about what God did for them. And it says in verse 21, and the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them. He knew what they were feeling, and rather than condemning them, he made a way. What has to happen for us to have a skin and to be clothed by it? Someone just said it. Yeah, something has to be killed for us to have the skin of the animal. And so right there at the beginning of Genesis, God sets up a pattern that is to be followed all the way through the Bible until we get to Jesus Christ. That something must be killed to give its life and to overcome the consequences and symptoms of sin. And so God actually at that point in time killed an animal and took the skin to cover up Adam and Eve and to show them that when we sin, the penalty is death. But the death penalty was not exactly given to Adam and Eve at that point right there and then. But it was making a statement. that when we fall short of the glory of God, our sin is a death sentence. And only when blood is spilled can we be brought back. Can it be undone? Can the price be paid? And so this morning we're having communion, and I'm wanting you to think about what areas in your life are you feeling afraid? Are you feeling ashamed? Or are you feeling guilty? Are there areas where instead of running freely to God and feeling filled with great joy and delighting in His presence, you're cowering in a corner? Maybe you have something that's been consuming you for years, and you've never told anyone. It's kind of like your little hidden secret. But it's stopping you from coming freely before God. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the ultimate sacrifice. He was called the Lamb. And that was because He was to take the place, be the final sacrifice once and for all, so that when His blood was poured out, when His blood was spilled, that we wouldn't have to make those sacrifices anymore if we called on the name of Jesus Christ. And with His disciples, He washed their feet to show them that I want you to have a new start. I want you to be clean. An outward expression of what He wanted to happen on the inside. And as the disciples took the bread and dipped it, they remembered the Passover, and it was a symbolism of what Jesus was about to do, give His life so that the angel of death could pass over. So there would be no more fear, no more guilt, and no more shame, but we could once again walk freely and openly with God. So this morning for communion, I want to encourage you to think about where you've maybe dishonored God, maybe you've fallen short of the things He's asked of you. And I want you to lay it in the bin, to say that you don't want it anymore, to say that you want to be free from it, and to totally acknowledge that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And then to come and take a piece of bread, and we've made it gluten-free so that everyone can have it, and dip it in the juice, which is sugar-free and preservative-free so everyone can have it. And dip it in and just take of it and know that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. That whatever it is that has been a stumbling block for you or in your faith journey, God wants to totally remove. He wants to once again walk with you in the cool of the day and have conversations with you and have a restored relationship with you. And that can only come when we say, "Here I am, God. I'm confessing to You what I've done, and I want You to make it right in me." So we're going to have the worship team, and they're going to come up and they're going to play. And we've got three tables. We've got one at the front here, and we've got two in the back. I encourage you to come and bring your leaf and put it in the bucket. And take the bread and dip it in the juice and take it as communion and then go back to your seat. If you can't get out of your seat, please don't be concerned. If you could just raise your hand, and we will actually have someone come and serve you where you are. So if you feel you can't get out of your seat, please just raise your hand and someone will actually come and serve you.
Just before we do this, I've just been prompted to just have some time of silent prayer as you reflect and make this decision to whatever is so consuming that's brought fear, shame and guilt to you, that you can just stop in a time of quiet prayer before we make a move, ask for His forgiveness if you're willing to go there. Because God so wants to have that conversation back with you, talking and sharing. And so whatever the blockage is there, we're going to have some time of quiet prayer. And at the end of quiet prayer, you're welcome. There's three tables set out. And if anybody can't move or, you know, not walking, we have a container that we can move around with the small cups. And if I can get James, if there's anybody that needs that. So let's go to a time of quiet, bring our hearts before the Lord and ask for Him for revelation of what's the blockage between us and Him, and for that to be broken. Let's pray.